It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On this vote, the yeas are 53, the nays are 47, and this nomination is confirmed.
And with that, the Senate, Thursday afternoon, confirmed Ketanji Brown Jackson in a historic vote that will make her the first black woman to serve on the highest court in the land. The final vote was 53 to 47, with Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Mitt Romney of Utah, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska joining all the Democrats to vote yes. Jackson will be sworn in after Justice Stephen Breyer retires this summer, after the current term ends. Until then, she'll remain in her current position on the U.S. Court of Appeals. Jackson will also be the first former federal public defender to serve on the Supreme Court. The court will now have two black justices and four female justices for the first time. And for the first time in history, white men will not make up the majority of the U.S. Supreme Court. President Biden tweeted, "Judge Jackson's confirmation was a historic moment for our nation. Unfortunately, the 6-3 conservative majority remains unchanged." Our second story today deals with the guest that just won't leave, COVID. There seems to be a swarm of new infections in D.C., with a bunch of new cases reported in the days since last Saturday's Gridiron Dinner, which is a major D.C. media event. Well, we know that the new variants of Omicron are highly contagious, but this is ridiculous. First, we learned that cabinet members, Attorney General Merrick Garland and Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, Congressman Adam Schiff and Joaquin Castro, and at least half a dozen journalists all tested positive after attending the event. On Thursday, Speaker Nancy Pelosi released a statement saying that she had tested positive for COVID-19, although she's not suffering any symptoms. And the names keep coming. Representatives Angie Craig of Minnesota, Peter DeFazio of Oregon, and Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia also tested positive. By the way, Senators Collins and Warnock were both in attendance on Thursday for Judge Jackson's confirmation vote. Collins was one of the few in the chamber who wore a mask. Warnock did not. As for new COVID relief, well, senators on Thursday admitted that they're delaying voting on a bill to put another $10 billion into pandemic programs until after their two-week spring break. Really, top administration health officials have said that further threatens the country's ability to fight the virus and prepare for potential surges and even more variants. But there is some good news to report. A federal appeals court on Thursday upheld President Biden's coronavirus vaccine requirement for federal workers, reversing a lower court ruling against the mandate. Biden said in September that the vast majority of federal employees would have to get vaccinated or face discipline when a district judge in Texas blocked the policy in January, saying that Biden couldn't make workers, quote, undergo a medical procedure as a condition of their employment. But by that point, 95% of federal workers were already vaccinated. Well, now, a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans ruled 2-1 that Brown lacked jurisdiction, and they ordered that the lawsuit challenging the mandate be dismissed. Got it? Okay. Moving on to the war zone. A Russian strike on Friday hit a crowded train station where civilians were evacuating from the Donetsk region, killing dozens and injuring hundreds. Upwards of 8,000 people were inside the station when the missile struck. The Donetsk region was being evacuated, and this train route was supposed to offer a safe harbor to safer areas of the country. The Russians knew that this train station was being used to evacuate civilians. And this attack comes as Russia continues shelling cities in the east and south of Ukraine. Although Russian troops have, quote, fully withdrawn from northern Ukraine to Belarus and Russia, that according to the UK's Ministry of Defense. So from the What Can We Do About It files, the United Nations General Assembly voted Thursday to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. It was a very rare rebuke of one of the five countries with veto power on the UN Security Council. Now, I know that's not what President Zelensky had asked for. He wanted Russia expelled from the Security Council, but that's easier said than done. So I guess this is the next best thing. Russia's deputy ambassador said after the vote that Moscow had pulled out of the Human Rights Council before the vote and said that the council had been taken over and politicized by countries with their own, quote, blatant and massive violations of human rights. There are no words. But Congress is acting when and where they can. The Senate on Thursday unanimously approved two bills that would suspend normal trade relations with Russia and ban Russian oil imports. The House backed the latest version of these proposals with a little bit of opposition, sending them to the president for his signature. There had been a bit of a standoff recently, but momentum picked up again after evidence of Russian atrocities in Ukraine surfaced over the last few days. Closer to home, New York's attorney general has asked a court to hold the former guy in contempt for allegedly failing to comply with a court order that he turn over certain documents for an investigation. So the Office of Attorney General Letitia James filed a motion on Thursday saying that Trump did not comply at all with the subpoena for documents and that his attorney said he would not produce any documents in response to the subpoena because his attorneys believe that if the documents exist, the Trump Organization would have them and the Attorney General's office, quote, will just have to wait until the Trump Organization completes its production to get them? Huh? James is asking the court to impose a fine of $10,000 a day or whatever amount the court deems sufficient to get Trump to comply. Meanwhile, the criminal investigation into Trump and his company is also allegedly continuing, as Manhattan's new district attorney said on Thursday that the investigation is still in progress and they're reviewing new evidence. Yeah, we'll wait and see. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, in an interview on Thursday with Jonathan Swan of Axios, said he would still support Donald Trump if he's the 2024 Republican presidential nominee, despite having previously called him, quote, practically and morally responsible for the January 6th insurrection. When Swan asked if there's anything a Republican nominee could do to lose his backing, McConnell was stumped. Amazing. And finally, the U.S. is not the only nation looking down the barrel of a right-wing authoritarian takeover. The general election in France is right around the corner. 12 candidates qualified this year, so they all compete in a first round of voting happening this Sunday. The top two vote-getters from that round then go to a runoff 2 weeks later. That's it. No electoral college, no candidates saying they'll only accept the results if they win. Frighteningly, at this stage, it looks like the two finalists will likely be a repeat from the last election, a contest between the current president, Macron, and his ultra-right-wing opponent, Marine Le Pen. There are no words. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.